Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. And yes, I am here live. I am back. It is real. It is me. I can't tell you how excited I am to be back live with you. I'm going to tell you all about where I've been in just a few minutes. I do want to start on, though, on kind of some sad news. I'm watching the tragedy in Paris and with the Cathedral of Notre Dame or Notre Dame. And I've been there, as I'm sure many of you have, and there are a few more iconic examples of religion and history in the world than the Cathedral at Notre Dame. Watching it burn is a tragedy of monumental proportions. It's beautiful. I'm not, frankly, a big fan of either Paris or France, but nobody goes there that doesn't get moved by their visit, which everybody does, to Notre Dame. So I don't have any words that are appropriate, but except I'm sure you all join me in feeling sorrow for the people of Paris and of France and for Catholics everywhere, because it is a Catholic iconic location. By the way, if anybody has questions for me during the show, the number is 877-960-9960. So where have I been for 3 months? Many of you may have known that the shows that were on air every Monday night were repeats of previous shows, kind of a best of, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. I have been on a world cruise. I left on, I left Palm Beach County on January 11th. I got on a ship on January 13th. And got off that ship on April 8th. So we were on for 85 days from Los Angeles to Monte Carlo. We were in 42 different ports, well over 20 different countries. We saw some amazing sights. Many of you may have questions about that. So again, if you do have questions about it and you want to talk about it, please, I'm going to tell you all about it as the show unfolds. And I'm going to talk about lessons learned, not just a travelogue, because this is not, after all, a travel show. Because there were some lessons learned that will, in fact, apply to the listeners of my regular show. So, but if you have questions for me, call me at 877-960-9960. So I was on a world cruise. As I said, we went to 42 ports in over 20 countries. We started in Los Angeles, headed west, got to Hawaii, did a couple of stops in Hawaii, then headed south, where we made our first stop at the thriving metropolis of Kiribati, Fanning Island. If you've never heard of it, there's good reason. There's no reason to hear of it. It's in the middle of nowhere, and I mean that sincerely. An important part of my stop at Fanning Island in Kiribati before we went on to American Samoa and Fiji is the role that sea rise, the rising seas, are about to play in that part of the world. Climate change, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you're a scientist, a technologist, a non-believer or a believer, it doesn't really matter. All right. The fact is, in a few short years, nobody's going to be able to visit Fanning Island because it will disappear. It will be underwater. The islands of Kiribati are about to disappear. In fact, the government has purchased land on another island for the citizens to move to when it sinks below sea level. It's really amazing to watch one of the poorest places in the world, and it is for me one of the poorest places in the world I've ever seen, when you begin to understand that very few people will ever have the opportunity to see this in the not too distant future. But anyway, so we went out to the South Pacific, and then we headed down to towards American Samoa and Fiji before I headed off to New Zealand. We were at New Zealand right before, maybe a couple of weeks before the terrible shooting in New Zealand, and I'm going to come back to that because there were some interesting things about our visit in New Zealand that the shooting made us shake our heads in disbelief, because if there were any place in the world you thought that wouldn't happen, it would have been in New Zealand. So what is it like to go around the world on a ship for 85 days? Well, you know, simply put, it's amazing. There aren't a lot of words, although I'm going to do my best to use a lot of words over the next hour. We saw rich and poor alike. We were in places where income averaged less than $70 a month. And then we saw the other extreme in Monte Carlo, where the wealth is beyond description. Just by way of an example, we got off the ship in Monte Carlo, and there was a yacht next to us in Monte Carlo. And I looked the name of the yacht up, and it was a Russian oligarch. It was a 200-foot yacht. The Russian oligarch was best friends with Vladimir Putin, and Putin was, in fact, this owner's yacht owner's daughter's godfather. It was pretty interesting. The other thing I'll tell you, and this starts to begin to some of the lessons learned, is we managed to meet with white people, brown people, black people, Indian people, Muslims, Asians, Europeans, Africans, Australia, New Zealand. If there was a part of the world that a people lived and aggregated, we met those people. We spent time with those people. We either toured in their lands, we conversed with them because they were working on the ship, or they were passengers on the ship with us. I would say well over 80 countries were represented by the crew of the ship. And I don't know how many passengers were and how many countries passengers were from, but I can identify at least 20, maybe 25 different countries that passengers came from. Needless to say, we were exposed to a view of the world which those of us in our isolated and insulated area here in Palm Beach and Martin County are rarely able to experience. I'd like to talk more about that, and of course I will. And if you want to ask me questions, I've given you the number. Feel free to call me, 877-960-9960. But let me talk a little bit about the diversity of the culture that I saw. When we got to New Zealand, New Zealand was very proud of the fact that in New Zealand there were, I think the number was 213, it might have been 203, but 213 different nationalities that lived in the small nation of New Zealand. They prided themselves on the fact that everybody got along. It was a homogeneous society, that people treated everybody with respect, that there was little to no hatred, that they accepted with open arms people from all corners of the earth, all corners of the world. You know, they demanded that they assimilate and get you know, familiar with New Zealand culture, and that they follow the rules. But these were a proud people, particularly about their diversity. There were people on the ship sailing who also came from New Zealand. So when the gunmen opened up on that mosque in Christchurch, it was shocking, shocking. It was beyond anyone's ability to comprehend how something like that could happen in a place like New Zealand. But it did. But it had the opposite effect of what the shooter intended. It didn't divide either New Zealand or the nation. I can tell you, having now it being in the presence of literally 100 different nationalities. Everybody kind of had the same reaction. It brought people together. I think also, and there's a lesson learned for us here in the United States and in our country, New Zealand reacted very quickly. They banned assault weapons. And I know there's a lot of Second Amendment listeners to my show, and I'm all in favor of you keeping your gun. But New Zealand acted in what was the best interest of that country, and they did it in record time, as opposed to the lunacy that is our approach to these kind of tragedies. But anyway, so here's what I learned about all these personalities. Here's what I learned from all of the people that I had the pleasure of interfacing with, that I had the pleasure of talking to, that I had the pleasure of meeting, that I had the pleasure of understanding. People all around the world are more the same than they are different. They are more the same than they are different. On Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom, I often talk about health issues. I talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. I talk about the costs. I talk about medical procedures. I talk about Alzheimer's disease. I talk about Parkinson's disease. I talk about things like this, travel. I talk about so many things, long-term care insurance and all of those things. And those are all really, really important things. They are. But what I learned being away for 3 months on this world cruise is that everybody kind of wants the same things in life, and that we all are searching for pretty much the same things that that make life enjoyable for us. Just by way of example, I have four grandchildren. All four of my grandchildren's birthdays are in the month of April. Yesterday we celebrated them all together. I'm one of the blessed. Most of my audience does not have the same blessing that I do. All of my grandchildren live near me. They live here. My children live here. We have the ability to get together and to celebrate together. The other grandparents flew down from New York. We had a party. Everybody was there. And it was all about coming together as family. And the truth is, as you travel around the world, you begin to understand that that is no different in India or in Pakistan or in Norway or in South Africa or in Madagascar, Mozambique, Namibia, or Senegal than it is right here. People want the same thing. They want peace. They want prosperity. They want freedom. They want their children to grow up in a place that allows them to be the best that they possibly can be. That was one of the incredible lessons learned on this trip that I think and I hope I'll be able to take into this show as we become to come back on live and do all of our live shows again, because we're going to have a complete agenda, a wide variety of shows coming up. I'll tell you more about them in just a little while. We're going to talk about things like healthcare and politics and world affairs and things like that. And I'll tell you about how we did that on the show too as the show unfolds. But here's what I've come to learn over the time that I was away. We are all more alike than we are different. We are all more in search of the same things than we are differences. We don't want other people to suffer so that we can succeed. We are not jealous of people who have done well as a people. We value success. We strive for that. Most of us just want equal opportunity for those people whom we come in contact with. We want to be treated fairly. If we're sick, we want our doctors to have access to the latest in testing and equipment and medicine. We want the ability to be taken care of. We don't want to struggle. We don't want anybody else to struggle. It's really quite remarkable. Again, I don't mean to be redundant about how similar we are as opposed to how different we are. It's really quite a remarkable lesson. So I would say this to you, which is something that I've learned over the last 3 months, over the last 90 days. All right? Treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat people with respect. Treat people as if you might have to walk in their shoes. Respect what they're trying to do. Now, if they have proven to you that they don't earn that respect, that's fine, but let them prove it to you. Don't prejudge. Don't make assumptions. Don't categorize. Don't put people in a box. All right? People are all out for the fundamental and basic same things. So that was one of my first lessons learned on my world cruise. A world cruise is a unique opportunity to do a lifetime's worth of travel in 3 months. And that is, in fact, of course, what I'm telling you that we did. We visited 21 time zones. Most of it was in the Southern Hemisphere. We went from 40 degrees and rainy to 100 degrees and bright sunshine. We had rough seas and smooth sailing. We had peaks. We had valleys. We had great. We had average. We had mediocre. We did some amazing things. And I encourage you to ask me some questions about that. One of the things this cruise has, and that's what I'm going to talk about in my next segment when we come back, is they had a robust enrichment program. The enrichment program had lecturers on board covering all sorts of interesting subject matter. So much so, in fact, that one of the lecturers is going to be my guest next week. It kept us engaged from the morning till night, every single day that we were on board this ship. We kept busy. We learned so much about things like climate change. We learned from an explorer who duplicated Sinbad's sailing in Asia and duplicated a rumored leather boat excursion from Ireland to North America in a leather ship. It was edge of your seat nail biting. We talked about garbage in the seas and climate change. We talked about politics. We talked about healthcare. We talked about so many things that impact our lives every single day, impact your lives. And it brought to me a new appreciation and understanding of how powerful this show can be if I'm smart enough to be able to incorporate it into the shows that are coming up. So when I talk about entertainment and service and quality of care and health care and all of those things, believe me when I tell you, this is going to change my view and I hope your view of what is possible in our lives as we travel down the aging highway that is the audience of, oh my God, I'm getting older and so is my mom. It's really kind of amazing, fascinating, eye-opening, awe-inspiring, humbling, I might add, as well, because while we were unbelievably privileged to have traveled in the laps of luxury as we did, it was very humbling when you get to see people that have really nothing and not a lot of hope. Before I go to break, I'm going to tell you a story about a woman I met in Walvis Bay, Namibia. We were visiting a township. Now, for those of you who've ever traveled to Africa, a township is not the place you want to be. All right, it's not like we call a township. Township is where the poor go, and when you have really no money, you go to the bowels of the township. We were in the bowels of the township, and there was a women's center there, and all of these people had babies there, and they were selling trinkets for $1 or $2 in an attempt to make sure that they had enough food to feed their babies. They were happy people, they were amazing people, but they were poor people. They were really, really poor. Well, I started to talk to one of the young ladies there, and she told me that she had just graduated valedictorian in her high school class, and believe me, if you saw this, you understand just what an amazing accomplishment that was. And all she needed, because she had a full scholarship, all she needed was that the government to issue her a visa. But the visa cost $160, right? And she was working to try to make a dollar at a time to earn $160 so she could acquire the visa she needed to acquire in order to make the trip to Pittsburgh, in order to get the government papers necessary for her to make the trip to Pittsburgh to go to the University of Pittsburgh on a full scholarship. Now, trust me when I tell you, that is a humbling experience when you see a girl like that. So I did what anybody else would, which I'm sure the other 25 people she told the same story to did. I handed her a little bit of money, taught her $160, and I have no doubt that she's going to be in her freshman class at the University of Pittsburgh any minute. So anyway, this is Scott Greenberg. I'm thrilled to be back. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night, 95.9 FM on the in Palm Beach County, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We do it live. If you're listening to us in the car, please drive carefully. Stay dry if it's raining and where you are. We're here. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We're here Monday from 6 to 7. We're going to continue. I'm going to tell you about upcoming shows. I'm going to talk more about my trip. If you have any questions for what happened to me while I was gone or any of the shows that were on while I was gone, I'm happy to answer those because I am here live. Call us, 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom here live. Yes, I said live. I am actually in the studio. I am not still away. I know it seems like I've been away forever. Some of you may wish I had stayed away, but anyway, most of you are may have wondered where I've been. So I've been away on a world cruise for 85 days. I've been traveling the high seas for over 85 days. I've been talking a little bit about where we've gone. I'll talk more about it. If you'd like to ask me questions about the cruise, you can call me at 877-960-9960. If you're tuning in tonight for the first time. We're glad that you're with us. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom, is a show about boomers and their parents. We've been doing it for 8 years. We're excited to continue to do it. We're looking forward to some of the great shows that we have upcoming. Tonight, I'm just kind of bringing everybody up to speed on where I've been, what I've been doing, how it impacts me, and how it's going to impact the show in the future as I talk about that. But if you're a regular listener, we're glad that you hung in here. If you're on 95.9, please drive carefully. I mean, if you're on 95 and listening on 95.9, drive carefully. If you're on 106.9 and you're on either the Turnpike or 95, also please drive carefully. And if you're home, enjoy. And feel free to call me if you have any questions about this amazing journey that I have been on. And amazing it is. 877-960-9960. So I started to talk to you about some of the enrichment lectures that were on board. We had a lot of politicians, and I'm going to come back to politicians in the next segment. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the climate change segment that I heard. There was a lecturer from on climate change, and it was eye-opening. I alluded to the fact that Kiribati is going to be underwater soon, and I have talked to you about some of the other things that are coming. But I think we may have a caller. I'm not sure. One of the things I learned about from the climate change person is just how much climate is really changing. And this doesn't matter, frankly, whether you believe in it or don't believe in it. I'll stop for a minute, but we have Howard in Jupiter, so I'll take that. And Howard, I'm glad you called. What can go ahead, fire away.
Okay, nice talk with you. I know you had a great time, and welcome back.
Thank you.
My question is, can you tell us a little about the people you met in New Zealand? I'm talking about the different people like the Maoris. And
right.
Can you, expound on the different types of people?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the Maoris, of course, were the indigenous people in New Zealand, and we did spend some time at a Maori village with one of the true Maori descendants. That's a good point. Look, the history of how the British Empire treated indigenous people both in New Zealand. Well, actually, there were no real indigenous people in New Zealand. They all came down from other places. But when the British Empire took over, both in Australia and in New Zealand, they didn't necessarily treat everybody quite so fairly. It is because of that, though. They own the history. I won't say they own it proudly, but they don't shy away from it. They talk about it and they embrace it. And consequently, I think they did everything they possibly could and are doing everything they possibly can to be inclusive. So the Maoris today hold a smaller percentage than you might believe of the New Zealand population, but they're fully integrated. Their culture is being celebrated. There's a lot of history that they are proud of, and the New Zealand people are embracing the Maoris. Now, consequently, there's another 200 plus or minus other nationalities, ethnicities, I would call them ethnicities there, and it was the most homogeneous society I had ever encountered. And until, of course, the shootings at Christchurch, it seemed like the happiest people on earth. It really did. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Anyway, that was a great question that Howard just asked me. And again, I encourage anybody who has any other questions to feel free to give me a shout about the World Cruise or any of the places I visited. So I was going to talk about climate change, but I'll give you some of the places I visited, so maybe you have some questions about them. So I said New Zealand, Australia, American Samoa, Fiji, Hawaii, Kiribati. And then we went across the Indian Ocean and we did 8 countries in Africa: Mauritius, Mozambique, Madagascar. We were in Mozambique just before the tsunami or the cyclone hit. We got out of there in time. We were in South Africa, about four or five different cities in South Africa. We were in Namibia. We were in Senegal. We were in St. Helena, where Napoleon used to be buried, and I walked down Jacob's Ladder. Yes, I walked down Jacob's Ladder. It was the single dumbest thing I've ever done. If anybody wants to know why, give me a call. We went to Cape Verde. We went to Ascension. We couldn't get on Ascension. Ascension has only 800 residents, and nobody there is a permanent resident because you can only stay for 2 years. That's an interesting place, but we couldn't get in there. Then we went to the Isle of Capri, and then we went to Malaga, and we went to Barcelona, Monaco. We were in France. We have been all over the world, and it was an amazing experience with so many different people. I'm going to tell you more about what I learned as soon as we come back. But if you have any questions, you want to ask me anything about the trip, or for matter anything else, any of my previous shows while we're gone, or any of the shows that are upcoming, or if you have ideas for shows in the future, give us a call, and please drive carefully. And thank you for listening, but call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes, Scott Greenberg here live on 95.9, 106.9. I know it seems like I've been away forever, and it probably does feel like forever. We've been away for 85 days. As I mentioned, we were on a world cruise, and so the last 12 weeks we've been playing repeats. But no more. We're here. If you have questions for me about my trip that I've been talking about, please don't hesitate to call 877-960-9960. I started to tell you that this world cruise, 85 days, one of the things that you did, it included about 40 sea days. One of the things that the cruise line does is bring special guests on that talk about a whole host of issues that confront us on a daily basis. One of the speakers came on and was talking about climate change. He was a professor at Oxford in the UK for, I think, 25 years, wrote books on this, and he described climate change in a way that's really hard to get your hand around if you don't believe in it, for sure, and even if you want to understand it. He used data, he used the kinds of information that is you know, that is not opinion. It's just fact. He wasn't taking a position. He was just explaining what happened. He talked about how things have changed over centuries and millions of years and all of those things. But if you look at just the last 15 years, things are really changing. The other lecture he talked about, though, once, which blew me away, was he talked about garbage in the seas. And how we are destroying the sea. 70% of the earth is covered by water. 70%. 30% by land. Now, sea is rising, and that's one element of climate change. But even more important, as a world, as a culture, as a universe, we are polluting our seas in the fastest way possible. So let me just give you a couple of things that are illustrative of this. We produce in the world today 1 million plastic bottles of water. 1 million per minute. Per minute. I want you to think about that. Now, where do they all end up? Now, plastic bottles of water get recycled. But I know a lot of people think the straw thing is a joke. 7% of the garbage in the world, all right, comes from stuff that otherwise could be recycled, like plastic straws. I think I got the numbers proper. You know, one of the things, if you have ever been on a cruise, that you always see, you get into the ports, you see these huge monumental tankers that ship goods all around the world, from China to the U.S., through the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal, all these incredible ships that have all these tankers on there. There are literally hundreds of those tankers that fall into the ocean every year. Through bad weather, accidents, lousy tying them down properly. As the tankers get bigger, this becomes a bigger problem. So think about that. Hundreds of tankers are falling into the ocean. Oftentimes, they sink right to the bottom of the ocean, but not always. So there are two stories about this. One was a couple of containers of Nike shoes fell into the ocean, way out on the way to Japan from wherever they were manufactured. I'm talking thousands of miles out in the ocean. And what happened is, in a period of a couple of years, those shoes started to wash up on shore. Now, some entrepreneur started to find them because they tended to go into a similar area, started to find them, started to collect them, and he built a website to sell these Nike shoes. And then started to get orders for, I'm missing a size 10 left or a size 8. And he built a business around the remnants of these Nike shoes that fell into the ocean. Just imagine that. But here's a story that's even more fun. All right. One of the things that fell in were little plastic toys, rubber duckies. Hundreds of thousands of rubber duckies fell into the ocean. And in this particular case, that container did not sink to the bottom of the ocean. That container broke open. And all of a sudden, there are millions or hundreds of thousands of rubber duckies are in the ocean. And they tracked the pathway of those rubber duckies as they began to show up over a 17-year period. 17-year period, all right? And they ended up in every corner of the world. Weather moved them. They went over and above the polar ice cap. They went down to Australia and to New Zealand and to the South Pole. They ended up in Asia. They ended up in Africa. They ended up on the west coast of the United States. They ended up on the east coast of the United States, South America, and up into Europe and the UK. Well, that's what's happening to garbage. That's what's happening to the stuff we dump. The other thing that's happening is that the plastics and the garbage that we put into the ocean is killing our fish. And the amount of wildlife being found with plastic in it, in their innards, all right, is destroying the economy of some countries. So right off the northern coast of of Africa near Senegal, where they had a tremendous amount, Morocco and Senegal, where they had a tremendous amount, a very vibrant fishing economy. That's what they, that's how they live. That's how they pay their bills. That's how they grew their economy. They are down to about 10% left of the available fish for them to catch, and for that matter, eat. Now, it's being, frankly, exacerbated because the Chinese are fishing a little bit offshore and doing that. But our fishing supply is being destroyed by the garbage in our oceans. So I'm not on a I don't want to preach. That's not what I'm doing. There are people who are facing this and are looking to change this. But climate change and our focus on the environment, the combination of both, is placing the future of your children, your grandchildren, my children, and my grandchildren in danger. And it's impacting the economies of some of the poorest places of the world. Now, it just so happens I listened to this guy lecture, and of course it scared the bejesus out of me. And lo and behold, I turned on the TV back in the room, and having nothing to do with nothing, there was a story on exactly what was happening about how the fishing village was dying because there were no more fish for the fishermen to catch. Those are the things you can learn on a world cruise, which I just spent 85 days on. So yes, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm talking because I'm back live for the first time in 3 months. I'm talking about this unbelievable adventure I've been on. If you're a first-time listener, we don't always talk about things like this. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. I'm going to tell you a little bit about next week's guest soon, but we're going to be talking about cardiology. I'm going to tell you that you can eat more and work out less and still lose weight. All right, we're going to learn that next week. I'll tell you more about that in a minute, so stay tuned. But if you have questions about my show or about any upcoming shows, if you want to know more about this show, if you're a new listener, and we appreciate your being here, feel free, give us a call, 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact health care challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
So welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg here live. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. If you're a regular listener, you know that I've been away for a while. I've been on a world cruise. We've been talking about that tonight. If you're a new listener, as I said, we talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We mix it up. Every week it's a little different subject matter. We allow you to call in. We hope that you do. If you have questions for me tonight, you can call us at 877-960-9960. We're on 95.9 in Palm Beach and 106.9 in the Treasure Coast. We're thrilled that you are with us. I've been talking about my amazing, wonderful, awesome, unbelievable 90-day or 85-day world cruise around the world, 21 time zones, 42 stops, 42 ports, over 20 countries, everywhere from New Zealand and Australia to Africa to France and Monte Carlo and to Spain. We experienced the best and the worst of our world. It was really amazing. And I started to talk a little bit about lessons learned, and I talked a tiny bit about climate change and how we're destroying our oceans. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about politics. We had a lot of enrichment lecturers on, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. I had General Anthony Zinni was on the board. Anthony Zinni is a four-star general, was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He negotiated some of the most well-known treaties, truces. He was shot himself twice in Vietnam. It was a true American hero. He was amazing. Another person on was Sir Mark Lytle from Mark Lytle Grant, from England. He was the national security advisor to two British prime ministers. I had four different ambassadors on, a Pulitzer Prize winning author in Eugene Robinson, an MSNBC commentator and Washington Post reporter, again, Pulitzer Prize winner. Tom DeFrank was on, who has covered the White House through 10 presidents for over 50 years. The leader of the opposition party in South Africa when Nelson Mandela was president was on board for 3 weeks, a man named Tony Leon, who was absolutely amazing. Some of the ambassadors you might know, Mark Ginsburg was on, Adam Michelli was on. Mark Ginsburg was the first Jew to ever be an ambassador to a African or to a an Arab country. He was ambassador to Morocco. They talked about issues that tried to remain fairly apolitical. They didn't either want to be too left or too right. Now, obviously, when you get somebody like Mark Ginsburg on, he tends to be right. He's a Fox guy. And when you talk to Eugene Robinson, he tends to be left. It's hard to give up your stripes. They are what they are. But they really talked about politics, worldwide politics, and how what we do here affects our status internationally and across borders, and impacts us in ways that we never know. Here's what I learned, okay, and I'm not going to take a political stand here tonight, although I'd be happy to. I'd probably get in trouble and lose half of you, but the truth of the matter is everything we do has a ripple effect across the world. The United States is, is still the beacon of light that people look towards for direction, for democracy. There is the overwhelming sense worldwide that we are not as dependable as we once were. Now, you can take the position that that's okay, or you can take the position it's not okay. I don't care. I don't have a dog in the hunt, all right? And I'm not trying to make a political statement. But under our current administration, the game, the rules, are being changed. It's evolving. And again, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I have my own opinion, but I'm not saying it's good or bad. You can have your opinion. What I am saying is that we do not live in the vacuum that we think we live in. People look to us for direction. They look to us to lead the way. They look to us for guidance. And we're being impacted by the things that are happening in Washington, D.C. and our government. And those things extend beyond just how they impact you and I. Healthcare, for example. Unfortunately, my wife on the ship got hurt, and we needed to see the doctor. The medication on the ship that would have cost hundreds of dollars here cost $20 on the ship. The costs of her x-rays, her injections, because she had a couple of injections, the cane, the brace, cost less than 1 hour visit to the emergency room here. We're behind the times in healthcare in this country. We are. I don't care whether you are for Medicare for All or not. I don't care whether you're an Obamacare lover or not. I don't care what your position is. We're behind the times in healthcare, and we're going to talk about that in future shows. In fact, in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a guest on that's going to talk about the evolution of healthcare in the United States and how it's evolving and how it's changing and how it impacts each and every one of you who's listening to this show tonight. Most of my audience is approaching Medicare or soon to be on Medicare, but trust me when I tell you, our approach to healthcare is so different than the rest of the world, and we really have to figure this out, because around the rest of the world, people don't worry about healthcare like we worry about healthcare. I heard a statistic today that 80% of our country is one healthcare event from bankruptcy, one healthcare event from bankruptcy. Now, again, your solution, my solution, they may be the same, they may be different. What I'm saying is that does not exist around the rest of the country and around the rest of the world, and that impacts other countries' approach to doing business with us, and that matters, okay? There are alliances being formed in the Middle East. When we talk, it happened while I was on the ship, and again, I'm not trying to get too political. When we talk about the Trump administration endorsing the annexation of the Golan Heights, I've been on the Golan Heights, not on this trip. I've been there. I understand why that is. I understand why the Israelis can't give that up. But that is less an Israeli Syrian issue, Syria owned the Golan Heights, than it is an Iranian and Saudi Arabian issue, and how it all impacts Israel. We're naive, friends. We don't really understand what's going on. We need to get more informed. I hope in the future that this show will move a little bit in that direction and get us more informed about issues that we should understand more about as we move forward down this aging highway than we're on. So one of the things I had hoped, I have so much more to talk about, I don't have a whole lot more time. One of the things I hoped I could talk about is how this trip, this amazing journey that I've been on, can impact both my approach and hopefully my guests, who I then bring on, to bring to you a new way of looking at things that we deal with every day. We tend to get caught in this little box. We tend to get caught in our own little space and how things impact us. But believe me when I tell you that one of the things I learned, having been away on an around the world 85-day cruise to 42 different ports, is that we are not out there by ourselves. And I don't mean that there may be people in space in that little black hole. We're not out there by ourselves. And what other people do and what we do, we are becoming more interconnected than we ever truly understood. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. But if you like this show, if you want to listen to us regularly and you can't always be in front of your phone or in front of your radio, not everybody has a radio anymore. If you can't listen to us every week at 6, there are other ways for you to listen to us. So we podcast this show. We podcast on OMG I'm Getting. Up It Pops every Tuesday morning. We replay it. We label it. Every show we've ever done is on there. It's on the Apple platform or other platforms. OMG, please listen. If you can't listen live, that's okay. We also put it on my website if podcasting is not your thing. If podcasting is not your thing, go to my website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Palmbeach.comfortcare. Comfort Care. C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Don't put a T in there. I know you want to. Don't do it. You won't find us. Palmbeach.comfortcare. Of course, you can set a reminder on TuneIn Radio, the app, a free app. It's free. There's an app for that. Of course there is. All you have to do is set it for WSVU. That are the call letters of the station. 6 o'clock every Monday we're there. And we simulcast. So you don't have any excuses not to listen. We simulcast on TrueOldiesFLA.com. www.TrueOldiesFLA.com. Next week, my guest will be Dr. Khalid Sheikh. He's a graduate of Duke University. He teaches at Duke University. He's a cardiologist on the Space Coast. I met him on board the ship. He's a cardiologist that has a new way of looking at things. And we're going to be talking about some issues for you that are so critically important. We're going to be talking about how heart disease is different in men and women. Most women don't understand that, but it's different. Even a heart attack symptoms are different, and how heart attacks impact people and where they come from and how they are noticed are different for men. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how you can eat more and exercise less and still lose weight. We're going to talk about the fallacy of fat-free diets. We're going to talk about the kinds of things that can impact your life. Dr. Sheikh is an amazing speaker. He was scheduled to speak 3 times. He was so well liked on the ship that they asked him to do 5, and he came back and he did 5, and he's agreed to come on my show. So he's going to be here next Monday night, and I can't wait to tell you about that, and I can't wait to talk to him. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking to Nivet Lee. Nivet is a 25-year-plus expert in healthcare amongst both those that do and don't have. She runs a nonprofit called Monarch Care. She's very familiar with the guardianship world, but she's also much more familiar with the healthcare world, and we're going to talk about that. Of course, I want you to stay tuned after I go, because Ira on Sports is coming on, and that's a great show. You don't want to miss that. And that's terrific. So I only have a couple of minutes left, and I didn't get to half of the things I wanted to get to. So I want to tell you briefly how I think my experience is going to help us in our business at Comfort Care. I never talk about Comfort Care on the air because that's not the purpose of this show. There are commercials to do that, and that's not why I'm here. But here's what I learned on this show. It's all about on the ship. It's all about service. It's all about quality of care. It's all about attention to detail. I traveled on a ship called Crystal. It was Crystal Serenity. It's a 6-star product, and it's billed as such, and it truly earns its reputation. Everybody there knows your name as soon as you get on board. And I used to think there had to be pictures in the hole so that they could figure out who I was. And I was right. There are. There were pictures down there of all the guests. That's how they knew your name. But there was a sign down there that said, you are always serving a Crystal guest or serving someone who is a Crystal guest, someone who's serving a Crystal guest. What that said to me is that everyone is important. Every person that we come in contact with, no matter what part of our daily lives, is important. Each and every person matters. Each and every person is entitled to our best. I'm going to translate that to this radio show. I'm going to translate that to our mission at Comfort Care. And I hope that over time I can impart that to my listeners that, yeah, we sometimes have a little anger issues around here, but we have to remember that people are trying to do the best that they possibly can. And if we treat everybody the way we want to be treated, this will be a better world and we will have more success. So I don't care what side of the aisle you're on politically. I don't care what side of the calendar you're on, whether you're young or old. I don't care whether you're healthy or ill. I don't care about any of those things. Here's what I care about. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That is the biggest lesson I learned on this ship with over 100 people from different nations. It was really amazing. So yes, Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here every Monday night from 6 to 7. Live on 95.9 FM in Palm Beach. 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. I'm glad that you stuck with me and listened tonight. I hope I'll see you next week. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. Have a good night, all. Oh my God, I'm getting older. And so is my mom. Good night, friends.